hell?
Everybody get up! Everybody get up! Everybody needs to understand that I'm more than simply a hype man for this rap group. Just like GEICO is more than just a company that can save you money. GEICO also has fast and friendly claim service, so they can help you when you need it most. And while I do love being a hype man, I also love reading for children's audiobooks. Like Little Bo Peep, she lost a sheep, and she don't know where to find them. Go!
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
One.
Welcome everyone to a special Emergence Yee Lakers Legacy podcast, where you might be asking yourself, Jesse McCartney? Beautiful soul? What does that have to do with anything? And to that I'd say, everything. Alan, please explain.
Well, as most of you probably know by now, the Lakers just signed Yijian Lian to a one-year contract.
But Jesse McCartney, beautiful soul, why?
Because, don't you just want to hold this guy? He's such a beautiful soul.
And the Lakers did not let a minute go to waste. They got what they wanted. But to be real, welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast. If you didn't hear, the Lakers are about to finalize a contract with Yijian Lian, and there is this amazing mixtape of Yijian Lian online that's probably like 10 years old, 8 to 10 years old, and it literally features highlights of Yi in China, but set to Jesse McCartney's Beautiful Soul, and it is a euphoric experience, wouldn't you say, Alan?
Absolutely.
It's like the most obscure combo of things to happen, but it's also so perfect. And at the end of that video, you'll see splices of Yijian Lian plays and Kevin Garnett.
I mean, that's the first thing you think of.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, you see Yijian Lian make a layup, and then they show Kevin Garnett making a layup, and you're like, yes. And that's exactly what the Lakers were looking
for. You see Yijian Lian dunk with two hands, and you're like, dude, that's like KG. The way KG dunks with two hands.
And so here we are, just trying to figure out what's going on, trying to wrap our heads around this Lian sanity. And it's crazy. But before we get started, you know, once again, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, that's how many chairs Yijian Lian will cross over, post up, and posterize this season in practice. And let me tell you, Alan, times have changed since Yi last dominated a chair in pre-draft workout video back in 2007. Chairs have, how would you say, like, evolved. We've got tall chairs now, we've got modern hipster chairs, we've got rustic hipster chairs, and, you know, just a wide variety of stuff to deal with. So seeing him dominate a wide variety would be quite impressive in today's day and age.
I want to see him do some dribbling drills around those hipster chairs. I'd love to see that.
Speaking of which, Alan, in your eyes, what's the toughest chair to dominate in today's NBA, in today's game? There's the plastic chair, the wooden chair, the rustic, the wide, the long, the stool chair. What do you think?
I would definitely say, I'd say the plastic one.
The plastic.
They're pretty wide. You know, they're made for all different types of people, various sizes, and it's a lot to get around. It from front to back, it's pretty large obstacle.
For sure. And you know who can get around that plastic chair?
Who's that?
Yijian Lian, baby.
Oh, for sure.
So rate and review, because the more you rate and review, that's how many chairs he'll be dominating all season long. With that said, let's get on with the show, because the Lakers have a new dynasty brewing. As today, we'll obviously be talking about the Lakers signing former NBA Lotto pick Yijian Lian from China. We will be giving our on-the-spot impressions of the news, and Tommy will also be giving his impressions and thoughts separately as well. But before we get to that, and speaking of rating and reviews, we're going to have Luke Walton read today's review. So, Coach Luke, go ahead and take it away.
All right. This one's called Best Lakers Podcast. I gotta say, I like the way that sounds. Here we go. Best Lakers Podcast. Real Lakers fans that actually speak the truth. Host very knowledgeable, comedic at times, and very honest. If you want to hear real Lakers discussions, check this podcast out. It's not the general hoopla you normally get from mainstream media outlets. So that was Alpha Kilo 90. Thanks, man. Definitely appreciate that. Go Lakers.
Thanks, Luke. Thank you, Alpha Kilo 90, for the kind words. And with that said, we will get started with our EGN Leanne chairman. That's apparently his nickname because of the chair workout, infamous chair workout. People started calling him the chairman.
That's pretty funny.
Which is spot on. So with that said, let's get on with our thoughts.
Shen Nian Kuai Le. I'm Kobe Bryant of the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right, so last we heard, the Lakers are finalizing a one-year veterans minimum contract that could reach incentives that would take that contract up to $8 million with former 2007 lottery pick Yi Jianlian of China, who just wrapped up finishing the Olympics in Rio with China. And there are reports that this contract is also potentially unguaranteed, so maybe he has to reach certain thresholds of he has to make it to training camp, he has to make it to December, he has to make it past trade deadline, etc., etc. He is allegedly 28 years old, but it's more likely that he's 31 years old because apparently they initially doctored his age and said he was 3 years younger when he first came into the NBA. But he is still 7 foot with a 7'3 wingspan, so that's good. I think my initial thoughts is, you know, this is not an amazing signing. This is not a terrible signing. It's a signing that allows the Lakers to tick off some check marks. In a number of areas. One, they corner the Asian market once again, and they carry over the massive following in China from Kobe's reign and make sure that they maintain that Chinese intrigue for this year. Make millions of dollars off Yi Lakers jerseys, and they also get a stretch five who, if he can actually play, could help Luke and his system out. And we have to remember, for some reason, and I honestly don't know that reason, that the Lakers and Mitch have been trying to get this guy to come back to the NBA to play for them the last 2 years. They tried this last summer, and he rebuffed that effort. So clearly they've been interested in this guy for a while, and outside of the marketing possibilities, I have to think there's a small part of him that's also just intrigued by his unique skill set at the four, and most especially at the five, and being a stretch five. So with that said, I wanted to ask you guys, what was your guys' initial first guttural reaction and impression of this signing when you heard it break last night?
Well, you know, the last 4 years, we've been waiting for a superstar to finally come to LA, and it looks like we finally got one.
Indeed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is what it is. I was actually like kind of intrigued. I feel like everybody is so quick to jump on the hate bandwagon, right? And I just, when you're signing a guy for a one-year contract, you can only be intrigued, in my opinion. I don't care how much you're paying him, because at this stage, you're not going to sign anyone else, right? So even if we signed Yi for like 1 year, $10 million or something, I would be super intrigued by it, just because I know we blew out China in the exhibition game, and then when we played them in the actual Olympics, USA blew them out again. But Yi looked like by far the best player on that team. He was competing with NBA-level talent, and he's 7 foot with a 7'4" wingspan, and he can shoot. So I'm not saying this guy's going to be a world beater. I mean, for God's sake, he's going to be like competing with Tarik Black for the backup center spot. So it's not like, oh, we signed Yi. Like, obviously he's our backup center. He's going to be competing with Tarik for minutes there. And Tarik has barely played in the NBA in his 3 seasons. So it's not like people are expecting a ton out of Yi, but I'm cool with it. I have nothing. It's like there's no downside. There's only potential, like, even if it's limited, there's only potential upside. So those are the types of moves you love.
Sure, but let's be real. You were confused at the very start, right?
Oh, no, I was so confused because I've been like really busy, so I haven't really been keeping up the last few days, but you posted some weird video of like with like Jesse McCartney or
yes, Jesse McCartney's Beautiful Soul.
Yeah, Beautiful Soul with Yi highlights. For some reason, somebody thought that was a good combination. So,
And it is.
And I saw that video. Had you heard something when you posted that, or that was just a random video you found?
No, it's funny because that video is from like 10 years ago. And I remember laughing with my friends about that video because it's so obscure. And it, when this signing happened, I was like, oh my God, I remember that stupid video that made no sense. But now I can bring it up. So it's perfect.
Yeah. So I saw the video. I guess I just wasn't paying attention. But then I saw that he had like, so I guess when you posted that, I didn't realize that they were in discussions. And then today I saw that he signed. And I was completely shocked. I mean,
you just thought I randomly posted a Yi Jian Lian video featuring Jesse McCartney for no reason?
Yes. I had no idea what you were doing. I didn't bother to look into it, to be honest with you. But
that's hilarious.
When he signed, I was like, okay, so what the hell is this? I mean, I thought that they were going to sign a center, right? But I don't think anybody thought that, I mean, I guess before the last 2 days that it would be Yi. Yeah, so yeah, I mean it's completely shocking. It's not bad, it's not great. It is what it is. I mean, again, it's a really good business move. I'll tell you that much, because Kobe's retired now and they need to keep Kobe built like an empire in China, and they need to keep that going with their Chinese fan base, and what better way to do it than to take China's like star player and try and bring him to the Lakers.
All right, Alan, so what about you? How did you feel when you first heard the news happen?
Well, I reacted physically first. I tilted my head to the left about 45 degrees, raised both my eyebrows, and made a Robert De Niro face. And what I mean by that is the corners of my lips just kind of went downward towards my chin. And I gave a slight nod of approval to myself. That's exactly what I did. I was like, yeah, okay. So that's what I did physically. Now, as far as what was running through my mind, the reason I did that was, I mean, the U.S. has played China how many freaking times so far in the Olympics, exhibitions, you know, in a game that actually counted for something. And it's very obvious that he is China's best player. And, you know, I went to the first game with Tommy at Staples, and I thought, like, dude, this guy got a lot better from when he was in the NBA. You know, former lottery pick, most people kind of thought, oh man, he got pushed around a lot. But we have to remember that was in a completely different style of play and era of the NBA. Again, he made some really great moves against our guys. He's got pretty good size. He's a big dude. And overall, with the limited games I've seen him play within the last 2 to 3 weeks, I was impressed. So when I heard about it today, again, I don't think this could be an awful thing by any stretch. At the very least, he's going to get spot minutes here and there just to fill up some space. And that's not such a bad thing. So, yeah, I'm totally cool with it. I think there's, you know, it's low risk for sure, but it has the potential to be a decent amount of reward.
Yeah, I think just the backlash and the initial reaction was just at potentially how much he could be getting paid. You know, the $8 million figure came out, and we were like, whoa, that's ridiculous. Why would the Lakers have their target set on this guy? And it's clear, you know, the beautiful soul. But outside of that...
They just want someone to hold.
Exactly. But outside of that, you know, like I said, they've had their eyes on Yi for some reason for a while. But and then on top of it, I think the main point of confusion for people... kind of came when Mike Bresnahan or Mark Medina, one of those guys, reported that the Lakers are looking at Yi to be a backup center. And I think people took that and ran with it as if that meant to say that Yi Jian Lian was for sure the first backup off the bench, which is not the case at all. I read that and said, yes, he's a backup center in the NBA, just like Tariq Black would be a backup center, just like Zubats would be a backup center. And I think, yeah, people just thought that would be impede the minutes that they promised Tariq, impede Zubats' development. And for me, I was just like, nope, those guys are still going to have to compete for those minutes, and now they just have one extra dude to compete with. And if Tariq Black can't outplay Yi Jian Lian, then he doesn't deserve those minutes in the first place.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, then so be it.
Exactly. So, yeah. Like, for Tommy, I want to ask you, do you have an issue with that?
No, I have no issues because it's a competition. You know what I mean? Like, none of those guys have proven anything. First of all, Zubats is 19, you know, like, to the extent he can give us anything this year, great. And if he earns the backup spot, you can damn well bet he's going to get the minutes. But And guess what? At that point, he's probably not going to hit his incentives, and his contract is going to be a veteran minimum. Like, we signed a fourth center, and yeah, we already have three centers, but one of them is 19, and one of them is 6'9". So, and none of them can shoot, by the way. So, I mean, Zubats can shoot like a 15-footer maybe. So, yeah. You know, it's... I don't think this is going to take away minutes from any of them, because if they play well, they're going to get time, number one. And number two, we're playing like this weird system now, right? So people are going to get minutes all over the place. People are going to get spot minutes. It's not going to be this Byron Scott rigid at the 6 minute mark. I'm going to go tap Lou Williams on the shoulder. And then that means that he's supposed to go in for Jordan Clarkson or D'Angelo, depending on what I say, depending on who's got the hot hand at that time. You know, but it's like these rigid, like every 6 minutes or every 3 minutes, I'm going to make a sub. It's not like that anymore. And because of that, you find yourself in situations where you have Yi, but you're not signing Yi to play 20 minutes per game for you. You're signing Yi for, like, if he ends up doing well in practice, if he ends up, you know, understanding what the offense is, and if he ends up showing that he can be somewhat of a, like, provide somewhat of a force on defense, which he should be able to because he's so tall and long. And I think 1 year he played, like his third year, he averaged a block per game, which isn't bad. But you're just bringing him in, and best case scenario, he's a guy you could throw in there for 6 to 8 minutes at the center spot. And if you find out that Randall really can't shoot still, you have Yi as a stretch five option to free up the court for Randall, and you just play him in spot minutes. It's not like this guy is, again, these old school mentality of, we have our guy, he's our starter, and then we have his backup. And then at the small forward, we have our guy, and he's our starter, and then we have our backup. It's, people are going to be playing all over the court. D'Angelo's going to be playing two positions. Randall's going to be playing multiple positions. Nance could potentially play three positions. Yi could potentially play, well, I don't know if he could play small forward, but he could play two positions. So there's going to be guys sliding all over the floor, and I don't think this is going to hurt anyone's development. And he might not even play, for God's sake. So
I mean, obviously, there's a glut at the four and the five. Dang can play the four. Nance and Randall can play the four. And presumably, Nance will play some small ball five as well. So it may seem that there's a huge glut at the five. Why do we need Yi? But at the same time, if we look at Mozgov, and given the most recent injury he had in the Olympics, his groin injury, this guy's a brittle dude, you know? And at most, you'd want him playing only 20 minutes. So that's 28 minutes left at the center spot that you could potentially divvy up between Tariq Black and Yijian Lian, you know? Because Zubats, I think, will get at most, like, maybe 10 minutes a game at the garbage minutes. And the rest of the time, I wouldn't be surprised if he spent half his minutes in the D-League, you know? So for me, it's not even, oh no, Yijian Lian is going to take up minutes. Not really. And then to the extent that he does, this is a one-year deal. By the time year two comes around, E is probably not going to be on our team, and that's when Zubats can take full reign, you know? So it's not like we signed this dude to 4 years like we did Mozgov. It's a one-year deal. See what he has. If he actually shows that he can actually still play, then Luke has the option of having a stretch five. So, Alan, given what Tommy said, what do you think about the dangers that people see, and maybe Yi just being another cog in there that'll mess things up?
Well, if you look at Golden State and their bigs from the last couple years, you had Bogut, you had Festus Ezeli, you had Anderson Varejao, etc. There was no clear cut, besides Bogut being the starter, who was second string and who was third string. You know
Maurice
what I mean?
Maurice Spates as well.
Yeah, Maurice Spates too. All of those guys, I'm sure anyone who watches basketball a significant amount can think of a number of significant plays each of those guys made during the regular season as well as in the playoffs. There might be a time when, you know, Festus Ezeli didn't even get in the game, then the next game he starts and plays a solid 30 minutes or so and produces. So I wouldn't doubt it if, now I'm not comparing our bigs to those guys, but if Luke wanted to roll out, you know, just Mozgov and primarily Yi one game, and then the next game, depending on matchups, etc., Yi might only play like 5 minutes, and then Tarek's going to get the bulk of it, you know, whatever it's going to be. So when Tommy said we're going to be rolling out this weird system and, you know, all these versatile lineups that you can just change depending on the ebbs and flow of the game, I absolutely see use for that with Yi at this point.
Exactly. And like I said, if Mozgov's only playing 20 to 25 minutes, you're not going to be giving Tariq
28 minutes.
You still
got like the other half of the game. Exactly.
Exactly. And, you know, for as much as we'd
like... So what happens when Tariq has to go up against a 7-footer? That he's got no chance.
Exactly. Yeah. At least he is a big body, and hopefully by moving him to that center position, which he's never really played before. And look, the last time he played was like in 2012. That's a good 4 years ago. The game has changed significantly. There's a lot better floor spacing. People utilize the big a lot more in terms of pick and pops and stuff.
Yeah, look at what Spates did.
Yeah.
Spates is like sometimes he was Golden State's like third option for shooting threes.
Exactly. And Yi, you know, is a guy who in today's NBA could really flourish and thrive under the proper system. And, you know, defensively, he's never been a great shot blocker, but he's still 7 foot with a 7 foot.
Yeah,
three,
per 36, he averaged about one per game. At his best year in terms of blocks, he averaged 1.4 blocks a game per 36 minutes.
Yeah, so he can at least be long and divert shots and be a scare in there a little bit. And, you know, for Yi, like you said, it just gives Luke another option to play with outside of just being like, okay, I have three bigs and they're all kind of the same. You know, Yi's like, oh, Yi is totally different. He gives me a different skill set that I can play around with. So I think that's a good thing. And at the end of the day, we're not even counting on this guy to play 10 to 15 minutes. If he does, it's gravy. But, yeah, I guess what do you see in E.G. Anlian's just game overall and how you see he could help us out? Because I think for me, when I see his game, even in the previous years, I think playing the four to start his career off, he was a little bit too slow to keep up with people and not didn't have enough strength. But I think over the last few years, he's bulked up a little bit. And at the center spot, he actually looks pretty fast because he'd be playing against slower dudes. And he's actually a pretty agile dude with pretty good quickness. He had a 38-inch vertical coming out of the draft, you know, so that's pretty big.
Yeah.
And you see his highlights and they're all dunks pretty much. So he's pretty athletic for his size. So I would call him not Kevin Garnett, but like a third world countryman's like Porzingis, you know, or, you know, like at worst case, he's Bargnani, but he's way more athletic than Bargnani. So what do you see in Yi's game, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, again, according to, you know, whatever is reported, it says he's 7 feet tall. He might be a little shorter than that in reality. It says that he's 258 pounds. I believe that.
Yeah.
He's a strong guy for sure. I remember when he was playing against Team USA, he actually played decent defensively against, you know, guys like DeMarcus. So, again, I have to think that he's an intelligent player. I haven't seen him play enough for a sustained period of time, and just watching highlight reels isn't going to do it. But I would think he has a decent IQ. And on the defensive end, like you said, it seems like he has improved his quickness a bit. I don't see him being worse than, you know, like Robert Sacre, you know, getting spot minutes at the five or something like that. So as far as where he fits in with us, he has a decent mid-range game. He could shoot it from, you know, basically all the way out to about 17 feet. So you can see him definitely in a pick and pop situation, pick and roll. Like I said, all of his highlights are two-handed dunks.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll have many issues rolling to the basket. I've seen him finish with contact a lot as well. That's something that's really impressive is his body control once he gets up in the air and he gets fouled. He shoots a pretty decent free throw percentage, so that's great for bigs as well. So, and ultimately, he is a veteran presence.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how he's going to connect with our guys from a chemistry point of view, but I know one of the motivating factors, at least is what I heard, is his family actually lives in the Bay Area. So that was a pretty strong incentive for him to come back to the States. So
nice.
As far as his own morale, he's got to be happy that he is back here, and he should feel fortunate.
Yeah, for sure. And in his best season in the NBA with the Nets, he averaged 12 points and 7 rebounds, and he shot a terrible percentage from the field overall. It was like 40, 41%, and he's never shot higher than 42%. So you just have to hope that his game has improved and rounded out a little bit in the last 4 years, or at least that his jump shot's tightened up. If he can just shoot 45% as a jump shooter, big man jump shooter, that would be great. And he had a year where he almost hit 1 3 a game, shooting like 36%. So there was a year where he actually hit 48 threes, you know? So he can actually shoot threes, and that would be huge at the five spot.
So that's the thing. If he can end up as like, there are very few stretch fives in the NBA, and most of them are like soft as shit, to excuse my language, but they are just so soft, right? So if he can like show any semblance of being able to at least contest shots in the paint, which I think he can, then it's going to be like anything he does offensively, like literally all he has to do is stand in the corner and, you know, catch the ball if somebody throws it to him. Like, he's literally, his entire function is going to be floor spacer.
During exhibition play, there's this one play in particular where Draymond Green is guarding him out at the three-point line, and he actually does a little shimmy hesitation fake and then takes Draymond straight to the basket and lays it in. So this guy, in certain spots against certain defenders, definitely has quickness that you wouldn't expect out of him being that size, and I think that could be advantageous for Luke to utilize. So right now, I think the biggest thing for people to wrap their heads around that's difficult for them is, outside of just, is he going to take minutes away from Tariq and Zubats, is the money. It's $8 million. Oh my gosh. Like, why couldn't the Lakers have used that on anybody else? So for you guys, I want to ask, yeah, what's your response to people who are like, well, they could have used that money or space on someone better. You know, there's guys like Lance Stevenson still out there, Donatas Montiunas, et cetera, that are objectively better and who have played in the NBA, which is true. But what would you say in response to those people?
Okay, people have this like weird thing about overreacting for some reason whenever it comes to stuff like this. I have no idea why. Like, people see the number and they just like lose their mind. Here's a newsflash. What is it, mid-August? Like, training camp starts in like a month. Everybody knows who's out there. There's not that many people out there that you're going to spend your money on. We're already above the minimum that you're supposed to spend, right? So are you seriously telling me that you're mad about, like, this money is either, because we're above the minimum that you'd like the floor, right? This money that we wouldn't have spent is either it's going to get spent on a player or it's going to go into Jim Buss's bank account. So who cares? Why does it bother you so much? Like, I feel like fans act personally offended, like that money was supposed to come to them if it didn't get spent. And then now all of a sudden it's going to Yi. Like, it was either going to a player or it was going to Jim's bank account. So it's going to a player. Like, if anything, I view that as Jim absolutely didn't have to sign anybody. I think we all thought he wasn't going to sign anybody except maybe that like high energy. I already forgot his name. That guy who was on our summer league team. He was like a forward.
Zach August.
I think people thought like maybe Mitch would sign him. Nobody was expecting Mitch or Jim to sign anyone else and to go spend $8 million to bring Yi over from China. I mean, with incentives, but to spend that much, that if anything, I like that kind of stuff. Cause it's like, wow, this front office is like, they didn't have to do this, and clearly they saw something that intrigued them, and they thought, like, look, we have some big guys, but we need more front court depth because our wing depth is very solid and our guard depth is very solid. Like, our best players are our wings and our guards. So we needed some more front court help, and if there's a chance that he could do anything, it's worth it.
Yeah, I really like what Tommy said about at least we're paying somebody, you know? When you look at the other guys who are still out there, like Montiunas, okay, yeah. Honestly, if we'd signed him, I probably would have been more excited. However, the downside is his health. Yeah. He's constantly injured, you know, failed physicals, etc. If health were not an issue, I mean, he wouldn't even be on the board anyway.
Well, and also, if you sign Montiunas, you're facing the same problems that you are with Yi, because you're like, oh, but he plays the power forward or center. We're right. Going to have a minute crunch anyways. And on top of that, you have to realize that the Lakers are operating under different circumstances and are checking off different boxes. Montiunas does not have the Chinese market cornered for himself. You know, like, E.G. and Leanne does. And if the Lakers are thinking more business-wise, the Lakers are a business, right? They're in the business of making money for themselves. And if you can do that while also banking on potential very limited upside, you would do that, you know, and I think that's what they're taking into account. I could either have a guy like Montiunas, who I'm not sure is going to get minutes anyways, and is clearly better than Yi, or I can get Yi, who, if he is who he is and sucks, then, okay, we don't get any minutes from him, but we get a bunch of jersey sales, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, got to do a real quick shout-out right here to our friend Bryant Yip. He pointed this out. He says, does this mean the Lakers have now had the most players of Asian descent? Sun Yue, Jordan Clarkson, Jeremy Lin, and now Yi Jian Lian. Other homie Victor says, yeah, probably that's the case by far. Houston had two. Mavericks have had two. So, yeah, there you go. You got to figure, again, we're like half kidding when we say these things. But it crossed all of our minds when it happened, probably like second or third. Like, oh, plus, this is a great business move. It's very shrewd.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that for sure.
And so, you know, when we talk about the money thing and whether we could get someone better, I just want to point out that the Lakers had, without waiving Swaggy P, and which we'll get to later, about $8 to $9 million left to spend, right? But keep in mind that they're holding off on re-signing Tariq Black until they use all that money, right? So Tariq Black is owed $6 million this year. So they couldn't have carried that $8 to $9 million into the season because they would have had to re-sign Black, and then he would have taken up $6 million of that, leaving only $3 million left. So I think they waited up until this point to see if a trade materialized like the Jose Calderon trade, and realized, okay, there's nothing out there, so let's just sign somebody who can benefit us the most in a wide variety of ways outside of just basketball. Okay, it's E.G. Lian. We don't want to take on a head case like Lance Stevenson.
Exactly.
Et cetera, et cetera. You know, so they had to spend that money somewhere. And that $8 million wasn't going to be used because you can't carry it over into the season because we had to sign Tariq Black. He's waiting in the wings until we do something. If we didn't do anything, he would have just came into that $8 million space and ate up most of it anyway. So yeah. If anybody's thinking they could have carried that into the season and used it as like a, you know, for a cap space trade down the line. No, it's not, because we had pretty much used up all our money and we were just waiting to see if we could use up all that cap space and then re-sign all our guys, Tariq, Brandon Ingram, etc. So that argument's out the door. And because of that, I'm just like, all right, it's clear that the Lakers waited this long to see if they could sign anybody else or if they could trade for somebody else, and those things didn't materialize. So for people that are kind of joking, and maybe they're not joking, and saying, wait, the Lakers haven't signed Brandon Ingram for Yi? That's not the case. Yi was just like, okay, now what do we do? Okay, yeah. It's like mid-August. Let's get E.G. and Leanne, who we've wanted before.
So. Yeah, and another thing I want to point out is a lot of people have thought, like, oh, man, what's with the Lakers signing all these former lotto picks for, like, one-year stopgaps and things like that? And it's like, okay, look, I'll be honest, when we signed Wesley Johnson, for example, I think we're all thinking, like, you know, this guy has potential. He's, like, physically extremely gifted. You never know what's going to happen. Now, he ended up being, for the most part, very disappointing. But the reason is we were starting him. Right. He's one of our freaking starters, you know? Or like, oh, Carlos Boozer. That's like a low-risk, high-reward type thing. He played in the Olympics. He was an all-star. Darren Williams and the Jazz, da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know what? Yeah, he really sucked, and he was also starting. This guy is not going to be our starting center, everybody. Exactly. You know, again, he's going to be a backup, not necessarily the backup. There might be times where he plays a solid 20 minutes per game. At the same time, we have enough depth at this position. You know, Robert Sacre isn't a viable option for us. Newsflash, he's in New Orleans.
Yeah.
So once again, for people who are getting kind of hysterical, thinking that we're falling into this pattern of signing a bunch of guys who are kind of like has-beens, high potential, but, you know, low benefit, I definitely don't see it in that light.
And so, yeah, to be clear, you know, this doesn't do anything to hurt the Lakers. I think people are just kind of taken aback by it because he hasn't been in the NBA for 4 years, and the shock of that is just like, wow, this just looks like a marketing PR move. And I would say, yeah, probably. I mean, that's part of it. But also, I think less of that because they tried to do this last year. You know, so it's clear that there's like a history there, that they've been intrigued for him for quite some time. And so at that point, you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt. And the fact that they have a whole new regime going on and Luke Walton is the coach, it's funny because we have to kind of get ourselves out of this Byron Scott way of thinking where it's just like so rigid.
Oh god, just the thought of yeah, never mind.
Yeah, it just wouldn't I mean it just wouldn't fit if we're thinking about how Byron Scott uses rotations, right? But in Luke's system, this Luke was part of the coaching staff in Golden State who, when David Lee was the cemented starter and he was injured that season, they decided, wait, Draymond Green's playing better than him, and he helps our team better. Sorry, Draymond. Sorry, David Lee. Draymond's going to stay the starter the entire season. You know, Luke bases stuff off of what he sees in practice and how these guys perform. It's not a seniority thing or you've been in the league more than this. Look, if Zubats outplays Mozgov, maybe he'll actually get minutes. Like, I wouldn't be too worried about why'd they sign Yi? He's definitely going to play 15 minutes. You know, that's not the case, especially.
He's going to play as many minutes as he needs to make the team function, period, exactly. As it should be.
And if that's 0 minutes, then it's 0 minutes, and they're making money off of his jerseys in China, you know? Yeah. And let me tell you, Yi is pretty much like a superstar in China. He's not as big as Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, he just won, like, the FIBA Asia MVP award in 2015.
Yeah.
So he definitely has a following.
And right now, I know for a fact, and I think Serena Winters reported this, but it's a huge deal in China right now, the news that Yi Jianliang is going to be a Laker. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know, that's amazing.
That's
to,
cool.
To see Kobe Bryant retire and then like, oh, wow, now Yi Jianliang is taking the reins.
If only we could have gotten Stephon Marbury from China. That really would have done it.
God.
Stephon I'm just kidding, everyone who's like, oh, this guy's an idiot.
Stephon Marbury and Vaseline. Yeah. But yeah, so I think that'll pretty much wrap up our thoughts on Yi Jianliang. You know, I would not be surprised if Yi ended up living in good old Arcadia, California, where we live right now.
What up, 626?
And let me tell you, that wouldn't be such a rarity because former NBA player Wang Zhizhu, formerly of the Mavs, and he also played 1 year with the Clippers. When he played out his 1 year with the Clippers, he actually lived here.
A-Town!
Because I saw him playing in the Eisenhower Park where we used to play ball, actually, with his son. So, in the nice peacocked suburbs of Arcadia, California, where all the Asian people are, Wang Zhizhu was here. Jet Li's lived up here, you know, in that gated community up at Foothills Middle School. So, I would not be surprised if we see and run into Yi Jianliang at, like, Tap Express, him getting like fried chicken.
Shout out to Tap Express.
Yeah, or you know Din Tai Fung, Xiaolong Bao. You know, I mean, Yi Jianliang. We might become BFFs with Yi Jianliang, and we might not have to do his accent because he just might be on our podcast. So that would be amazing. You know, that's just fun to have like this Lakers, like United Nations kind of thing going on once again.
Oh, for sure.
You got Mozgov.
This period of time where we didn't have very many international players at all, actually, within these last like couple years, but. Yeah.
And I think it just gives like the American newer American-born players who are just getting acclimated to the NBA just more perspectives from around the world and seeing like, oh, how come this guy acts so different? How come they have these customs? You know, just, you know, Luau Deng is from the UK, but he's originally from
Sudan, I think.
Yeah, and you know, we have Mozgov in Russia, Zubats from Croatia, Huertas from Brazil. I mean, we've just got like, it's literally a melting pot. The Lakers are like a microcosm of what Los Angeles is all about.
It's true.
So for me, it's like, this is a no-lose situation, you know?
Yeah.
The rest of the NBA is going to laugh at us and be like, oh, this is silly. But whatever, you know, we have to trust our front office and we have to trust that Luke was like, hey, that guy has some nice skill sets. Let's use him. So any last thoughts on?
I agree. I mean, everyone's super hyped up on Luke, and I would think he had some say in this signing. So if you trust in him and you believe in him that much, then, you know, I wouldn't be as cynical as we've been kind of primed to be over these last 3 years.
Yeah. And, you know, there are things to get, like, up in arms about, but I actually think this is a better signing than the Mozgov deal because I'm like, if this goes wrong, then this is a year and that's it. You know, if Mozgov goes wrong, we have 3 years left.
It's extremely cost controlled.
Exactly. So, you know, if you were looking for some crazy news to happen Lakers related because it's been the dog days of summer, you got it, folks.
Yeah, dude, I'll take it.
Jianliang sanity, baby. Before we end this show, though, I wanted to ask Tommy because I think some fans are wondering, well, okay, Yi Jianliang thing aside, Nick Young. So Brandon Ingram first. I think we're going to sign him soon because it seems like the Lakers have realized, okay, there's nobody else on the table, no trades, Yi Jianliang signing, and then shortly after I'm expecting Brandon Ingram to be signed. But the other, next step is, okay, what about Swaggy P? It's August 31st. August 31st is the deadline to stretch him. Why haven't they done anything? Tommy, can you shed some light into that?
Yeah, so August 31st is the deadline to stretch someone for the 2016-2017 season. Which is this coming season, obviously. But it doesn't matter. Like, there's no need to stretch someone, right? So the only benefit of that is it saves us money for this upcoming season. But when we're already going to be below the cap anyway, it sort of makes sense to just pay Nick Young his money for this season and then stretch him for the years coming after this season. So basically, what happens is because he has 2 years left effectively because he has second year as a player option. So if we waive him, it becomes like, it's like he has 2 years left guaranteed money. Okay. That 2 years, $12 million or whatever that we owe him is fully guaranteed money. It's going to get paid to him at some fashion in some amount of time. Right. So we either are going to pay it over the next like 4 years or so, or we're going to pay it or the next like 5 years, or we're going to pay it over the next 3 years. And the benefit of waiting until after August 31st is we just pay him his guaranteed $5 to $6 million for this year. And then we're only stretching the last year instead of stretching the entire contract that's remaining. So what that does for us is we front load the money, which is exactly what we want to do because we're committing more money up front. And then towards the end of the contract, or the end of the stretch period, I should say, we're going to end up saving money on the back end. So in 3 years, we'll be completely wiped away of Nick Young's contract. Whereas if we stretched him right now, it would continue for an extra year. And yeah, we're talking about like marginal money, right? Like $1 to $2 million, which in this NBA is with the new cap is not that big of a deal. But again, there's no absolutely zero reason to stretch him before August 31st if you're not going to spend the money this summer, which we're not going to. So that's why they're waiting. And I expected pretty much like September 1st for him to, I bet they're probably just like waiting every day, like counting down the minutes until they can stretch this guy. Cause he is such a, God, he became such a loser.
Yeah. And I think the only scenario in which we would have stretched him before was if there was like a prime free agent that we really wanted and we needed the extra cap space.
Oh yeah, exactly. But that would be the only reason to do it.
Yeah, and clearly the E.G. and Leanne thing pretty much closes the door on that. And so so I think the best case scenario and best course of action to take, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen. So if Lakers fans are freaking out, why is he still here? Just wait till August 31st and pretty much September 1st, and that's when Swaggy P will be gone.
All right, with that said, thank you guys for listening. Once again, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us on iTunes because the more you rate and review us, that is how many ye puns you will hear throughout the year from all of us here at the Lakers Legacy Podcast. Remember, Jesse McCartney, ye, beautiful soul, E.G. and Leanne is your newest Laker. Alan, yeehaw! New Yeezy.
MC Yee Yee.
Destin Yee.
His legs are as big as trees.
I don't want another for pretty Yee face. I don't
want just Yee in the key.
Jesus Christ.
Look at him shoot that Yee throw.
He's so artsy.
Aw, man, you know it.
I'm not distracting the battle, man. Pushing and pulling and wishing that Messiah would be coming soon with his deliverance. I am the...
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.